Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the Metrigy Metrosite. I'm Erwin Lazar, President and Principal Analyst here at Metrigy, and I'm joined by my colleague Beth Schultz, Vice President of Research and Principal Analyst. We want to welcome you to this episode. Today is an exciting one for us. We will be sharing with you some insight into a brand new research coverage area for us called employee experience. So, Beth, let me go ahead and start with the first question for you. Obviously, employee experience isn't a new term, but it's certainly growing in importance. Why is that?
So first of all, hi, Erwin, and everybody out there listening to us. I'm excited about this new area for Metrigy, employee experience. And I'm not going to say anything that's surprising here. You know, with the mass work from home movement caused by the pandemic and the ongoing kind of prolonged indecision about hybrid work, or, you know, going back to the office, working from home, we've seen increased disenfranchisement between employees with their employers, leading to the Great Resignation. Our own, Erwin, your UC research shows that, of almost 400 global organizations globally, you know, a third report that a lost sense of community is very much a challenge for them. Another third report that managing remote employees is a challenge of working from home. And a quarter still report that workers are less productive. So, you know, even though there's, you know, a lot of employees say they can work just as productively as home, maybe companies aren't finding that to be true. And then we've also seen that, video fatigue was obviously a very big trend and topic early on in the pandemic as everybody went home and started to use all those video meetings hour after hour, That is consistent. That's persistent. 44% report that video fatigue is still very problematic for them. So, you know, companies really are trying to figure out what's going on with their employees, trying to get them more engaged, and trying to optimize that experience overall.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, certainly the disruptions in the workforce have been unlike anything we've ever seen. And as you mentioned, the Great Resignation has been something that companies are looking at and trying to figure out, you know, how do I keep my employees avoid the cost and the disruption and so on of turnover. So as organizations are thinking about employee experience, what should they be thinking about? Maybe more importantly, who's responsible? Is it a single organization? Is it different groups? So what do you see as kind of the components and areas and responsibilities of employee experience?
Yeah, great question, Erwin. Traditionally, when you think about employee experience, you are thinking about it, you know, it's going to be an HR initiative or it's going to be a top level, you know, on down initiative. But increasingly, we're seeing lines of business getting involved. We're seeing operations getting involved, particularly if you're talking about trying to match up employee experience to customer experience or improve the agent workforce. And IT is increasingly involved in whether they're heading up those decisions or part of the decision-making team. As a company broadens its, view of employee experience, we recommend that they take a kind of a multifaceted approach. And we've identified five kind of key elements of an employee experience strategy. Of course, we encourage the companies to, you know, look at all of these, but, you know, at least if you get a few of them, that would be great. The first is really critical, and that's, you know, to understand employee engagement, you've got to measure how engaged employees feel and what they're doing throughout the day, and then provide them actionable insight, provide them guidance, both at the employee level and then at the maybe the team leader or the department leader or even the organizational leader. You know, how can they take what they've learned and make positive change? A second key element is encouraging engagement among employees. And this isn't just within a team or a prescribed group of employees. This is really across the organization and involving everybody. So it might be the CEO and it might be interacting with a contact center agent around a shared interest. So you're building up community of interests around whatever, dogs or food or whatever it's going to be, right? And then another key element is keeping employees informed. I mean, you don't want employees to find out that your company is doing something because they've read it on the news or they've seen it in a Twitter post or whatever. Feed them information about the companies, whether that's through a news feed or maybe the CEO holds a video message once a week or they gather people in a town hall. Keep employees informed, really important. Along those same lines is the fourth element, and that's to identify what content and knowledge are within the company and important for employees to have, and then store that in a central location and give employees ready access to that information. So if they're meeting with somebody in a different department, or maybe they're putting together a bid for a customer, they know where to go to get information that might help them. And then the last element is really more of a traditional HR element, but it is to enable collaborative goal setting. And that is sort of all around this movement toward objectives and key results or OKR management. And that puts from the highest level organizationally down to each individual employee, everybody has a very clearly defined set of goals that they're working toward, and then key results that will help them get to that sort of shared goal. And like I said, that involves, everybody, HR, ops, IT, lines of business, et cetera.
So it sounds like you're a lot of what you talked about, obviously companies are doing today, but maybe more siloed. So it sounds like when you think about employee experience, it's that idea of maybe taking an architectural approach almost, or looking at ways of unifying the different ways that you communicate with employees, that employees can communicate with one another into a methodology that hopefully makes people more engaged and gives you insights into some of the challenges. Is that a fair description?
Absolutely.
Excellent. So what are you seeing as some of the market trends as you've been looking at the vendors in this space? And you talked obviously about some of the fact that this isn't necessarily just an IT area of interest, but also HR and business management.
Yeah, I would say there's a few trends that I'll note here. First off is as I said earlier, traditionally we think about employee experience as being something that HR is responsible for. And certainly we've seen those sort of traditional HR types of platforms coming out of companies like a Lattice or a Limeade. They're broadening their scope, bringing in new modules, new capabilities to sort of kind of get that umbrella approach to those, that architectural the methodology that just pointed out, those five elements. The second trend is the entrance of new players in this market. Microsoft is a perfect case in point. Early last year, it introduced the Microsoft Viva employee experience platform, and it has various modules that address sort of those five elements, with another coming online later this year to bring in OKR, which it is getting into through acquisition. The third trend that I'll mention is the involvement of not only Microsoft, but other traditional IT players, particularly around communications and collaboration, because again, that's where, and productivity for that matter, but communications and collaboration, that's where people are spending all of their time throughout their day, whether it's in those video meeting tools or in team messaging. So IT has access to loads of data about that it can then, surface, analyze, and then bring directly to employees and show them, how they're interacting with these tools during the day and then engaging with others example here is WebEx from Cisco. They've introduced collaboration insights. And from this information, and this is also what Microsoft has in its Viva Insights component of the Viva platform. But, you know, being able to give employee direction, like, hey, you've participated in X number of meeting minutes this week, and guess what? Only spent, you know, this tiny portion of time in productive work. How can you better adjust your time? And it'll provide guidance on that. And then the last trend I'll point out right now is sort of the extension of the idea of employee experience and employee engagement beyond the traditional knowledge worker, and tying in customer-facing operations. So those employees that are either meeting with customers face-to-face, you know, maybe your field service workers, for example, somebody in a retail store, as well as the folks within a contact center, whether that's, you know, physical contact center or working from home these days, that are engaging with customers by phone or across any other number of channels, but really bringing those folks into the employee experience strategy as well.
Excellent. And I'm sorry, keep going.
Oh, I was just going to say, and then not only bringing them in, but then tying together, you know, what you're doing on an employee experience and how that's translating to improvements in context, customer experience, because, you know, happy employees equal happy customers, as the saying goes.
Yeah, I think that's really the key when you think about, you know, measuring success of an employee experience effort is what can you do? We talked about the great resignation, but even thinking about improvements in sales and customer service and support, customer retention, you know, all the different metrics that the companies might look at and try and understand, you know, are the efforts that I'm making to improve employee experience paying measurable dividends?
Absolutely.
So I want to kind of delve a little bit more deeply into a little bit about what you talked about. You mentioned some of the insights that vendors are providing back to employees so that they can see, you know, how they're spending their day and whether or not they're spending too much time in meetings, which probably a lot of us are these days. But also, how can companies use these insights? And then, you know, how do you deal with potentially privacy issues? Employees might feel that, you know, they're being watched too closely.
Okay, so there are a few things. Let me start with, you know, what you can glean out of your collaboration tools. As I mentioned, companies like Microsoft, companies like Cisco, WebEx by Cisco, they deliver personalized insights for employees and guidance based on how employees are interacting with those tools. So they're empowering employees to self-improve, right? You know, you've participated in 5 meetings today, but you came late to 4 of them. You know, maybe you don't need, and you didn't actively engage in any of them. So maybe you don't actually need to attend those meetings, but rather get the meeting notes, and that would better serve your purpose and better help you find more time for productive work. And then going up a level from there, these same tools provide, they aggregate that data, and then they provide behavioral dashboards to maybe team leaders or department leaders, organizational leaders. And that gives them insight about how employees are collaborating, how they're, what kind of productive work, what time they have for productive work. And they can look at it at a team level or a group level or a department level or organizational level and make some decisions. You know, maybe they set a no meeting Friday policy, for example, based on what they find from these tools. And it is very important and critical to note that this data be depersonalized and anonymized and viewed only in aggregate. And companies really do need to make sure that their employees understand that, so there's no concern about how employees are, you know, they're using this information to build a case against me or something like that. You don't want that to be happening. And then, the other two ways that companies can use employee engagement insights are really more traditional HR sort of mechanisms. So pulse polls that sort of provides in the moment understanding about how customers feel about something. And, you know, imagine being in a town hall and, you know, sending out a pulse poll, you know, how do you feel about what the CEO is saying? Or, you know, does this make you feel, you know, happy, sad, whatever? And then your traditional engagement surveys, which companies can use, and those would be done quarterly, annually, whatever the case may be, and they'll assess how engaged employees feel over time.
Excellent. So I know we're just about out of time for this week's episode. Any last thoughts? What do you see as marching orders, I guess, for our listeners and as they're thinking about developing an employee experience program within their own organization?
Yeah, I have five quick tips, and I'll go through them real quickly. First, which I've already mentioned, is take that cross-disciplinary approach. So, whether HR is the primary decision maker or not, get IT involved, get operations involved, get who, you know, get other business leaders involved. Data privacy, as I mentioned, really important to clearly articulate how you're using, how you're gathering, how you're using the data, and build trust from the get-go with your employees. Get influencers involved. That I think is really important. Identify those users at the team level or departmental level who really can take advantage of the information that's being shared with them through a tool, and you know, changing their behavior and to deliver value. And you know, give some examples of that. Make sure that well-being is a piece of your employee experience. In your engagement efforts, very critical to stopping that sort of great resignation is making sure that employees aren't feeling overworked, aren't being burned out, and there's the data to help them adjust their work days. And then, as you mentioned, Erwin, it's so important to kind of define success metrics and then measure against them, whatever they may be.
And before we wrap up, I do want to remind or let folks know that you just recently delivered a webinar covering this in a lot more detail with a lot of graphical support, which obviously we can't convey as well on a podcast. But if you'd like to go and take a look at a replay of that webinar, you can go to metrigy.com and search for employee experience or scroll down and look for our recent webinars. Also, you can subscribe to our webinar channel on BrightTALK. So go to brighttalk.com and search for Metrigy. And you can, again, see a lot more insight into what Beth has shared with us on this webinar. So I'm sorry, on this podcast. So thanks again for joining us for episode 4 of the Metrigy Metrosite. And be sure to check back for new episodes coming out regularly on metrigy.com, our YouTube channel entitled Metrigy, and on your favorite podcasting application and platform. If you don't follow us already at metrigy.com or on Twitter at Metrigy, or follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook, please check us out there as well. And with that, we'll wrap up. Thank you so much for your insights, Beth, and we look forward to seeing you on our next Metrosite.